conference.
Good afternoon, and I want to welcome everyone to the Texas Library Association webinar, Librarians in the Brave New World of Today's Job Market, with Cindy Batman and Janet Denny. By now, everyone should be on the conference call to hear the audio portion of today's webinar at 866-740-1260. If anyone has any problems seeing or hearing any portion of today's webinar, please contact the ReadyTalk support line toll-free at 800-843-9166. That's 800-843-9166. If you are as harried as this man in the picture, you'll want to know when your CE certificates are available and when you might be able to find an archived version of this webinar. And CE certificates will be available tomorrow, July 13th, at www.txla.org/CE, probably the same location you use to register. A free recording of this webinar will be available next week at our CE library, our same website, but then the end part is CE-library, and that has an archive of all of our free strategic initiative webinars. To minimize background noise, we are asking everyone to please use *6 to mute your phone. You'll be able to restore sound to ask a question by using *7, or you can chat your questions to us in the chat box in the lower left-hand corner of your screen. And by the way, the Twitter hashtag for today is #TLAWeb. If anyone is tweeting about today's webinar, that's #TLAWeb. And now I want to introduce our presenters for today, Cindy Batman and Janet Denny. Cindy and Janet.
Thank you, Ted. We are so delighted to be here. This is Cindy Batman speaking. And I welcome you to this presentation where we're going to talk about ways to find jobs in the brave new world that our job economy is today.
Hello, I'm Janet Denny, and I work in the Career Center here at the University of North Texas. And I want to give you a little bit of information about where I'm coming from in this conversation. I've been here in the Career Center for 12 years. I work on the employer services team, which means I go out and talk to recruiters, visit employers, and that's what I've been doing for the last 12 years here. I also come from a background of having owned my own business and worked with the Chamber of Commerce for several years. I have a degree in education, and I have been working in other fields, and a lot of that experience will come into the presentation that we have for you today.
And I am a degree librarian. I've been a librarian since 2003 and have worked for UNT the whole entire time. And so my experience is academic librarianship with my degree. Prior to that, I volunteered in public libraries and special libraries. So we are going to talk about our goals for today and what we plan to talk about. It's our intention to think about ways that you can find lucrative positions in non-traditional library settings. So we're trying to expand our perspective on the job market. We're going to talk about the profession of librarianship, what we learned in our MLS programs, and what we've learned on the job in libraries, and how we can leverage that into opportunities for our future. We'll be evaluating how we present ourselves. We're going to be having to make a paradigm shift in our thinking, contrary to some of the traditional roles and thinking that we have had in the past. We're going to have to be more proactive. We will be retooling for a new marketplace that has new requirements. We're going to briefly go over some resume tips. You're going to have another webinar on resumes later in this series. We are also going to talk about what today's world of work looks like and then sum this conversation up. We have about 45 minutes for the presentation. We have built-in time for questions at each section break in our presentation, and then we will have time for questions and answers at the end of the presentation also. And Janet and I are in the same classroom doing this presentation together, so we are live together presenting to you. So we will be jumping in and out of each other's comments at will, so I hope that is not disruptive to y'all. The first thing I want to talk about is your university's career center. At the University of North Texas, and I know from the list of names that several of y'all are UNT grads, you know that here at UNT we have a fabulous career services, career center department. And that department's job is to help students find jobs after they get their degrees. We now have a career counselor specifically for graduate students. So whether you came from UNT or not, I encourage you to find out if your university has a career center that you can access. It's a wonderful resource, gives you help with resumes, cover letters, interviewing skills, proper etiquette on dining at an interview if you happen to have a lunch meeting, just tremendous resources electronically in print, and the people in the center are also the greatest resources to help you find another job and market yourself in the best possible way. That's where I found Janet, in the Career Center. That is her specialty, and that's why she's going to be talking to you, because she is the person at the Career Center who goes out and recruits employers to come in and hire UNT students. So she is very well versed in what employers are looking for. That's what we're trying to talk to you about today.
Quiet, Kaylin, quiet.
Yeah. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you on this end.
Okay, great. I'm sorry, I'm having some trouble getting these slides advanced. It's very sensitive. I want you, as librarians, we are very, very good at thinking about words and language. And one of the things that we're going to work on today is thinking about what is involved in librarianship. That is going to be one of the things that is critical for you to make this transition. Think about what is involved in being a librarian, the type of work you do, the environment, the tasks that you do, the activities that take place. Okay, the next shift is going to be what you look like on the outside. And I want you to look at this from the perspective of the employers. What do employers want to see in business professionals? Which picture looks more like you right now? Depending on your library environment, what community you work in, the size of the library, the type of library, corporate library, law library, medical, school, public, the dress code, the style is going to be unique to that library environment. And I work in an academic environment, and the dress is very casual here, surprisingly casual. My colleagues who work in corporate libraries definitely look more like the person on the right. But the point of today's conversation is for you to think of looking for jobs outside of traditional library environments. You're going to have to move toward that view of the lady on the right. And if you are a gentleman listening to this, then same thing. Instead of khakis and a polo shirt, you might be thinking of a sports coat and a button-down shirt, something a little more dressed up. So we want you to think about this. What do you need to do, or do you need to make any changes in your appearance? And here we've asked that you take an interactive poll so that we can get a response. Do you need to make changes in your appearance in order to broaden your opportunities? So just you can click on yes or no, and it's a very simple, straightforward poll, and we'll get some idea of what you're thinking. Great. Y'all are already attuned to this. I bet many of you are using clickers in your classroom for your library instruction. Okay. It's pretty evenly divided. About 11 are content with where they are, and they don't feel like they need to make changes. And about 16 do need to make changes. So that's a very interesting result, and that will be important. This slide is to encourage you to think about what you look like when you walk through the door. So you've opened the door, you've got an appointment for an interview, and these are the folks who are sitting at the table waiting to talk to you. In academia, we would call this your search committee. So here is your search committee, and what do they see when you walk through the door? Think about that. It makes a Your first impression is tremendously important, so you want to invest some time and effort to make that first impression what you want it to be. And very often for many of us, this is going to require a paradigm shift in our thinking. This, not just your appearances, but what you're going to be talking to these folks about yourself. What are you bringing to the table? What are you going to be able to do for these people that is going to make them want to hire you instead of all the other applicants they're going to see for that position? We also want you to think about where else you can contribute. I am tremendously proud of my degree as a librarian. I feel like I learned so much, so fast. I have thoroughly enjoyed each and every one of my classes. I enjoy working with my colleagues in the profession. I love working with students. I have the privilege of working with adult learners, grad students primarily, and I thoroughly enjoy what I do and the people I work with. The question is, if I didn't have this job, where could I market the skills, the talents, the experience, and the knowledge that I have accumulated in the last few years? What other environment, workplace, would be able to use what I can contribute? So instead of thinking about your traditional reference desk, look at these pictures and think, where would you fit in, for instance, a hospital or in the military? Or my husband is a realtor, so I can tell you I've seen some realtors who desperately need an organizational consultant to use their time and efforts efficiently. So you have to think about marketing your skills yourself. There's not really an organization other than folks like TLA who can do that for you. The onus is on you to make the effort to go out and find jobs. Okay? So we are here to make some suggestions. Feel free to ask questions at any point, but we will have a question and answer session shortly. We want you to expand your horizons. Think broadly about your skill sets. Give yourself a different label. For instance, instead of calling yourself a librarian, call yourself an information professional or a knowledge consultant or a research expert or something like that that will allow you to view job postings with a different perspective. So what that means is come out of your box, out of the library box, and position yourself differently. We're going to broaden your view of the world of work. So we want to take the library jargon. One of the activities I encourage you to do for yourself is to try to think without using library jargon about what your skills are. And now this is the end of this one section, and if you would like to ask any questions right now, we'd be glad to entertain those. All right, and Janet is going to start on retooling.
I wanted to, this section is a section that I just feel so passionately about because I see this every single day in working with every single group that I deal with. And it's not unique just to librarians. This is common to everyone who is in the job search market. But I want to talk to you about your transferable skills. What are transferable skills? How do you identify what transferable skills are? I want you to learn to reframe your skill set so you can transfer them to a different employment opportunity. So how do we figure out what those are? We have slides. We have things that we've made available that we have on our website. For students who go to UNT, you can look at that at any point in time. It talks about typical things that people who have your degree, certain skill sets that they tend to own because they're drawn to that major. And it's the knowledge, skills, and abilities areas. And these are things that you were probably strong in when you were young that sort of drove you in the direction to go towards your library science degree ultimately. But they're things you've been building on all of your life, and I think this is the most common area that people forget to market. You're great at marketing what you've learned while you're in school, but there were fundamental skills that you had to have to get into that degree program. Things that you've done in the past that you are doing right now and that you will be doing in the future and that you will use always. And let me just kind of briefly go over a couple of them. Great use of the English language, ability to work with people in the areas of training, good ability to speak, active listeners, oral communication, written communication skills, clarity of speech, the ability to convey ideas, being people service oriented, wanting to help people, those types of things. And you kind of get the drift of what I'm talking about. These are things that you've probably always been strong in that drove you towards the MLS. So how are you going to take those and use them for getting your next job, your next opportunity, getting out of that box? So here's what I want you to think about. Are you ready? Are you ready to reframe this? Are you ready for the race? Are you ready to get out there and look in some different areas that possibly you haven't even thought about? So what's the tool that I'm going to suggest? It's self-assessment. And there are so many self-assessment tools. You can go online and find self-assessment tools. You can go back to your career centers. Many career centers offer self-assessment tools. You can go to a career counselor. They will administer self-assessment skills. All of these at a fairly minimal cost, but you might recall one that you did in high school, and it was the ASVAB. And it's given at high school, about graduation in high school, by the military, and they use this on every graduate that comes out of the public schools in America. And it will give you your basic skills. What are you? Are you headed towards being a mechanic, or are you headed towards being an accountant? And it will ask things like, would you prefer to balance a checkbook or plant a garden? Would you prefer to do this or do that? And they're just aptitude types of questions that will spark you to thinking and help to drive you to finding that area where you really have strengths. And you know that you have these strengths, but we forget that we own them. At this point in time, let me entertain questions since the self-assessment and transferable skills may be an area you may have questions about.
We had one question earlier. You had mentioned titles that might be different than titles people have now. Could you suggest what kind of titles people might look for? And the person wonders, information professional, knowledge manager, is it something like that, or more varied?
I think those are both good. I think it's critical to think of anything. Just look what you do. You teach. Think about the different activities that take place as you're a librarian. There are many, many types of things we do. We do cataloging. We do reference. We do instruction. We create research guides, lib guides, that sort of thing. We do storytelling. Each one of those activities is comprised of different types of things, and you can find a label. Instead of, like, storytelling, you can talk about public presentation. So we're going to be, in everything we do, we're trying to encourage you to use other non-library vocabulary to identify your strongest skill sets. And that would also hold true in the jobs. You're not necessarily looking for a particular job title. You're looking at the skills and characteristics and activities of the jobs that are posted. So we'll talk more about that when I talk about resumes.
Thanks. I'm not seeing any other questions come in on the chat right now, but maybe we'll have more later.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go on with what I had mentioned earlier, and this is just going to recap it. If you don't have resources available through your career center or through some source you already have, really consider investing in career counseling. There are all kinds of career counselors you can access. Some people will need more help than others, but there's lots of help out there. So please just think about that. Another thing I want you to realize is you have a full toolkit. You have everything. You have developed from the large motor skills to the fine motor skills in that you have these fundamental skills that you possess, and you've capped that off with the fine motor of learning library science details, degrees, the skills that you've got. So you have the full toolkit. All you need to do is figure out the language that you need to reposition yourself. And reposition yourself and just have a broader view of everything that you're looking at going into. Were you going to add something? Yeah.
We have a person with a hand raised. Wendy, if you'd like to unmute your phone with a *7 and go ahead and ask your question, please.
Hi, I was just wondering, you were talking about investing in career counseling and how there's so many good ones, et cetera. How do you determine which are the better ones if there's so many out there?
Well, if I had access to my university's career center, I might call and ask them if they could recommend someone. They might know someone. Some universities make that available for a fee. Other than that, I might do Angie's List search, or I might just look for reviews online. Being that I work in a career center, we have services that we recommend, and I always go to that as my first touch.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks so much.
Okay. The next thing I want you to think about is how are you going to transfer these skills, the skill sets that you have? What am I actually talking about? What does that mean to you? Well, what I'm talking about is if communications is one of your strong skills, how are you going to identify that? You can take it out of the library jargon and put it into what business and industry is looking for. So one of the things we were talking about is Cindy had mentioned the career counselor that is now available, career advisor that's available through the Career Center here at UNT. And her name is Christine Ellis. And one of the things she talks about is she's not asking you to find something. She's saying, where are you interested in working? Figure that out. What kind of work would you like to do? What are you interested in doing? And then identifying your top three strengths. So when you identify those three strengths, then find a job posting that has those types of things. It will help you to narrow your focus and pull it in. One of the things that I recommend that you do is find five job postings. Just find five that are interesting to you. And go through those and see what are they listing as skill sets. If the job postings are interesting to you, of course there's something in there because it speaks to you. And you look at that and you go, oh, I can do that. I can do that. That describes me. So make a list of the skills that they're talking about, and then make a list of the skills that you have. So you'll have two lists side by side, and you're going to be asking yourself, is that me? Can I do that? Am I a good fit for that? And so I'm asking you, have you ever read a job posting and you went, oh, that is me. They are describing me. That's what you're looking for, is who's describing you? Who's describing those skills that you possess? And once you start looking at job postings, you'll see, I don't want to do that. And you'll see that you're starting to select jobs that more closely describe you. They won't be in the library language, but they will be in your fundamental skills. They will be in things that you already use, that you already do, things that you are comfortable with. So I'm just asking you to look outside the box, because here's the most common thing that I see. Candidates, people looking for jobs, have a very narrow focus. Employers have a very broad focus. They're looking for people that are teachable, that are problem solvers, that get along well with other people. They're not asking you to come to them already knowing how to do that job. They're asking you to come to them willing to learn how to do that job. And I think that's one of the most important things that we can communicate. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about federal jobs. This is so important. This is the largest employer currently. Nobody has more jobs available than the federal government, and we have this slide that will tell you. It's provided to us by them. I've used it, and this is available in several of the handouts so that you can look at it in the handout from How to Get a Job that's available to you online. And this process is described in pretty clear detail here. You will set up a resume, an application online, a general one application. It is a pretty extensive process. And I'm saying that to say that you may have to do 20 pages of history, background, those kinds of things. But the great news is once you fill this out, once you go through this process of creating this resume, then you look at every job that's listed through the federal government, and you can just quickly drop that application into each one of those jobs. It's a one-time thing. So it's so effective, so easy. They've streamlined it. It looks a little overwhelming when you first start, but once you get it done, it is just absolutely a breeze, and you can apply. We are so fortunate in Texas. There are lots of federal jobs in Texas, a lot. Probably the next closest place, well, there are several places that are larger, Washington, D.C. and Atlanta, but those are the only places that are larger. So being in the Texas general vicinity, anywhere around here, is great for jobs so that you don't have to move. And nobody has more benefits than a job with the federal government. Here is a little more information on what you're going to do. You're going to create your federal resume, answer their questions, submit the completed application, and then follow up with agencies. What you'll find is some agencies may send you specific questions once you've applied. Then you'll follow up and do a little more detail with them. So I'm going to really, really encourage people who are looking for jobs to look at federal jobs because there are so many, because they are in Texas, and because they have such great benefits and such long-term stability that this is an area that's really, in my opinion, overlooked. And we have a lot of people from the federal government that come to the colleges to keep this relationship strong so that we can refer people to them. I know we've covered a lot of information, so I'm going to give a question right here, and if you have any questions about what I've covered.
You were mentioning that the federal government is one of the largest employers. Does the current controversy over the budget, does that affect that? Is there some jeopardy?
No.
Federal jobs right now?
No. The federal jobs will be hiring. They've got a slate of jobs right now and not nearly enough people applying. And there are enough jobs right now that they say that they'll be hiring for the next 5 years. And I would just say this, that they offer more money to, it might not be a great salary to start, but if you stay in for 3 years, your salary, it grows at an astronomical rate, so much more than even private industry. So it is a very, very lucrative field to go into.
We have a couple of questions coming in on the chat. Again, what is the website address for that, federal jobs?
I have the slide. A big copy of the slide is in the handout. Let's see here. You're going to go to USA Jobs, and the handout, How to Get a Job, that's in our other packet, will have all the details in there.
Another person asked, is it true that sometimes federal jobs have a limited time frame, like only 3 months?
Some do, and those are considered to be internships and not full-time jobs. I've talked to several people who are looking for the federal 3-month job, 6 month, 9 month, but the majority of their jobs are not on a limited time frame.
We have a comment from one speaker, one participant. In my experience, I have not seen employers willing to work with you or willing to train you. I've seen more and more employers saying that you must have certain skills because they don't have time to train. Even with basic skills, I've been having trouble getting my foot in the door because of this unwillingness to train. Are you seeing that in this economy?
Actually, I'm not seeing that working in the Career Center, working with recruiters. Here's what I'm seeing. It is a matter of showing them your skill sets and marketing that. And we're going to get to this in a few minutes. They are going to test you for every single skill that you say you have. And they're going to check and make sure you own that skill. So we're going to talk about that as we come through the rest of the presentation.
Another person asks about online and telecommuting jobs. Do you find many of those on the federal sites?
I have not seen that kind of jobs on the federal site.
Okay. And then a person confirms, is the website usajobs.com or .org?
We don't have that URL on our slide. We'll have to double check that.
Oh, okay. But it's in the handout, is that right?
It's in our earlier handout.
Okay.
To get a job.
So we'll double check on that before the end of the webinar.
Thank you. Oh, look, Nancy's already done it for us, www.usajobs.opm.gov.
Oh.
Thank you, Nancy.
That's librarians for you. Y'all are great. You're very good at sharing. Okay, now I'm going to talk a little bit about resumes and the activity. This is an opportunity for you to do some exploring yourself. You've got a resume prepared, and I would ask that you would highlight all of the library jargon in your resume and then try to rephrase that resume using more generic terms that would be applicable across the board in any type of business. Also, I encourage you to make a list where you describe the accomplishments and skills in each job. So instead of what we traditionally do, which is describing the task performed, like for me as an academic librarian, I would say something like, I taught 58 bibliographic instruction sessions. Well, if I go interview with an aerospace industry, they're probably not going to know what a bibliographic instruction session is. So instead, I want to talk about, and in my resume, describe myself, my growth, what I've learned, development, what I've accomplished in the job. So I might make that a generic phrase like, instructed adult learners in 58 class sessions on 18 different topics of graduate level knowledge management or something like that. So just take out any of our LIS wording that we're so fond of. And for heaven's sakes, take out the acronyms. We love our acronyms. And it's very important to quantify whenever possible. And you and I all know that we are crazy about our statistics. We keep track of reference questions. We keep track of bodies who walk through the door. We keep track of how many folks are in the library at the end of the day, at the end of the hour. We keep track of everything, how many hits our web pages get. Start collecting that for yourself. That is your ammunition to sell yourself. So be able to quantify in your resume and certainly in your interview what you've accomplished in your career or in your studies as a student or in other jobs. You know, if you have maintained 5 web pages, if you have created X number of brochures and handouts and research guides and lib guides, state that. Have examples of them. So use those statistics and report to show what you've been doing. It's just a way of giving evidence. And then you always want to think in terms of what you can do for this employer. Please do not, in your cover letter or resume or in your interview, talk about you want to work there because you want a library job or you want a job where you can grow as a professional and you want a job with an organization that has great outreach to the community. You want to talk about what they need. So the question is, how can you provide them assistance, talent, work, your intelligence, your creativity? What can you do for them? So you might go in and say something about the fact that you are that you would like to apply your skills as an organizational whatever, and that you believe that this organization would benefit. You have to not in a way that is patronizing or y'all really need help and I'm here to help you. Don't do that. But try to focus and phrase it in such a way that you're communicating you're there because you think you would be a vital part of their team and you would like to help this organization to move forward. So that's part of that. What do you bring to the table? What specific, unique talents, characteristics, skills do you have that you're going to contribute to that organization and market yourself? You have to sell yourself. Nobody else can do this for you. This is all on you. But, you know, we have the skill set to do it. Y'all know how to do the research. You know how to find the websites. And there are tremendous resources online free on how to write a resume, how to write a cover letter, 50 questions to practice in case you have to do a telephone interview, a lot of tips, websites, video clips on interviewing. I've looked at so many videos on how to interview that are so helpful, talking about your body language, your posture, your eye contact, what you wear, how you sit, do you cross your legs, all of those kinds of things. And y'all are very, very good at doing homework. I know because I took the same courses, and I know what we went through. So just put yourself back in the student mode and learn these skills in order to adapt for the next stage of your career development. So you need to think about kind of repositioning yourself for re-careering is what I called it. I came into librarianship after 20 years in a business management environment. It's a completely different culture. And if you go into libraries out of, like I did from business, or from libraries into business, it's a whole new world. It's a different culture. So you are going to want to do some investigating to find out what that culture is about. So, for instance, if you've been working as a school librarian or perhaps a public librarian working with children and storytelling has been a big part of your life, then you need to sell that storytelling skill in a way that it's going to be marketable in a different environment. So, for instance, you might have a line in your resume that you develop story times for toddlers and moms. You work with teens to encourage reading during summer reading programs, and you assisted seniors in locating large text materials. So in order to re-career, what you're going to do is say something more generic, like created an environment conducive to learning for various ages and abilities to reach their literacy potential, interacting with 945 customers in a one-month period. So do you see the transition there? Another example, like from myself, for academic bibliographic instruction, to teach information literacy skills to doctoral students. So my do-over or redo on that language is successfully taught 58 classes of a total of 2,314 adults to use research materials to develop business plans. So I hope that helps. I thought some concrete examples of what I'm trying to communicate might be helpful. Another one is created. I told you that. So anyway, I hope that some examples are helpful, just to try to get the jargon out and position. Just think of yourself in a different kind of office. You're running a mall, a retail mall, and the mall office. What greater place to use information gathering and organizational skills? We can be plugged in almost any environment. Our skills are very, very adaptable. So this is the bridge, and your job is to move across it, okay? You're on one side. You've got all that library training, knowledge, expertise, education. Now you take that with you, and you move across and position yourself for a different part of your career, the next step. We've talked to people who are school librarians, and they would be very familiar with this image on the left of a Scholastic Book Fair. And guess what? They're talking to people from Scholastic all the time. I know all you school librarians are best friends with your Scholastic reps. So perhaps you would want to think about being a vendor rep yourself. You know a lot about it. You know where it's marketed and how it's marketed. That would be an obvious connection for you to make. And for heaven's sakes, whatever you do, don't forget to get advice. I have found as a grad student and as a librarian that librarians are the most open and sharing people you would ever want to meet. We are very free with our information, very collegial, very collaborative for the most part. I've found this to be true when I've, as a student, gone out to interview people as part of an assignment, and as a librarian when I'm trying to build collaborative relationships with others. So talk to people around you. Talk to people where you work now, if you can safely do that. And definitely talk to your faculty, your friends, whoever you can. Don't forget to make connections wherever you are, in school. And I tell people this when I'm talking to students here at UNT, that the people that you're sitting with in class will be the same people that you will meet in your search committees when you're interviewing for jobs. People that might have been your boss at one job 2 or 3 years down the road could be working for you. You want to make friends, not enemies, because we're a very small group, and you'll trip over each other for years to come. So use those people that you know. Like I said, when I logged into this class, I know several of the names on this list, and so we do overlap a lot. So take advantage of that and get help. Ask for help. And whether you are comfortable with this activity or not, as librarians, we found that many people who are librarians will identify themselves as shy or inhibited, and that is very common. However, you will have to learn that networking is a necessity of our lives. You need to learn to talk to people, look people in the eye, shake their hand, and hand them a business card at the same time. If you go to TLA events or PLA events or anything like that, and you have the opportunity for a networking reception or coffee or anything like that, definitely take part in that. Don't sit down, stand up, walk around, introduce yourself to people. And a tip that I heard somebody say that seems very obvious, but sometimes I'll like to remind people of things. I am a mom, after all. So don't carry around a plate of food and a drink. Get your food and drink, sit it down at your table with your coat or your purse or whatever, and then go out and meet people. That's what you're really there for. And you can wait and have your food and drink when the primary speaker comes on. So I hope that will give you a tip. Your resume is effective if you are getting calls for interviews. So think about that. Is your resume hitting the target that you are trying to reach? If you are not getting callbacks from your resume, if people are not calling you and doing phone screening, telephone interviews, or making appointments, then you want to rework your resume and get help for that from colleagues, teachers, faculty, bosses, whoever you can work with. And when you're networking, don't just network with library people. You also want to think about networking with your neighbors, your friends at church, your PTA associates, your daughter's school teachers. Let everybody know that you're looking and that you're ready to move outside of libraries, and you're interested in ways that you can use your skills in other areas. So you will get some interesting input, and just think about all the ways you can make connections.
I want to say this one thing about networking. As Cindy's talking about this, this is something that I'm really passionate about, because 20% of available jobs are advertised. So that leaves 80% that are put out there by word of mouth. And the number one most frequently missed sector for networking is friends and family. And it's never who you know, it's who you know that knows somebody that has an opportunity. The best example I've heard in all the years I've worked here was a person that was just dying to work for Walt Disney World, and they were networking with everyone they could think of. However, what they didn't realize is Grandma knew someone whose daughter worked at Walt Disney World, and it was through mentioning it after a long, protracted effort to get there that they mentioned it in front of Grandmother, and she said, well, let me just call Sarah. And that opened the door for this person. So please don't forget the people, everyone you can talk to is someone you should be talking to as far as networking. And here we are on the question slide, and anybody have some questions?
And again, feel free to chat your questions to us in the chat box, or go ahead and raise your hand.
Okay, we're going to go on because we're getting close on time. I want to do this fun part of talking about the new world of work, what it looks like, and how different it is. Please remember that, and as part of my job, I go out and call on employers, and it does not look like it used to look, and it freaks a lot of people out, and I call this the world of cubicle land. Employers are using this format, this business model, because it's cost-effective. It allows them to be fluid, to move up and down, and they also find that the closer proximity you are with your colleagues, you pull some of their energy, and it helps keep people highly motivated. So this is what you're going to be seeing. I know some people really have a problem with it in the initial first glimpse of it. There are no four walls and doors. People don't have offices like that anymore. But this is the new reality, and almost everywhere you'll go, you'll see it. Don't shut it out as not having potential, because it is the new future. Another thing I want to tell you is this process of looking for a job takes a lot of time. It is not like it used to be. You decided you want a job, you went and sent out a resume, got an interview, and got the job. It doesn't work like that anymore. Things have so dramatically changed. You will probably be talking to people, having a telephone screening interview, then that you will meet with a recruiter, you'll have a recruiter interview, then the recruiter will pass you off to the manager, and you may have a manager interview, then you may have a group interview. You could possibly be invited, if you've gotten through these processes, to a business dinner where they take the final candidates and meet with all the managers or the VPs, have you for a dinner. Also, situational interviews are very common. Now, I want to give you an example of a situational interview and tell you what the point of this is so that it won't surprise you if you ever have this. A candidate went to a interview in Seattle, and it was a situational interview. They staged some experiences for this person, but they had three people in the interview, and they asked the candidate with such serious faces, how many jelly beans will it take to fill a 747? Well, needless to say, that candidate was totally flummoxed. How do you figure that out? What was the point of that question? It was not to find out how many jelly beans. It was to see how the candidate would respond to a very difficult situation. They wanted to know thought process. They wanted to see, do they have a sense of humor? Can they handle a situation that's very, very stressful already, an interview, and add something on top of that? So it is having your calm and knowing that they may do things like that and being prepared for it, and know that some things they might ask you might not have an answer. They may not have an answer. It's not about the answer. It's just about having the attitude to be able to keep your calm. They're wanting to see how you'll react in front of a customer. So please just be aware that all of these processes are out there. Employers are looking for more work-life balance. They are looking for you to have the ability to have the work-life balance, because it makes you a better employee. And remember that the interview takes you to the next interview. The resume takes you to the interview. The interview takes you to the next interview. The next interview takes you to the final interview, which takes you to the job. And it all is a process, and it all takes some time. Now, I want to get you to some data that Cindy and I pulled. I pulled this out of the Career Center database here at the University of North Texas, out of our Eagle network. And it's good news. This is big news, and it's good news. And we are talking here about jobs that were advertised, not advertised for MLS graduates, but hired MLS graduates who applied. And these are we're talking about the top employers. I had 33 industry categories, and this is out of 1,214 employers. So this is a pretty good sampling. And you can see 33% of the jobs were in libraries and education. What does that mean? That is big news. The big news is that 66% of the other jobs are not in libraries and education. And that's great news for you, because I said there are 33 industries that I polled that are hiring MLS candidates that applied. That's the active part that you have to get, is applying to industries that you're interested in and looking at other areas than the traditional library. So I just want you to know some of the things that you need to be looking at, and here's our motto, be prepared. So I wanted to give you a few more things that are happening now that you need to be thinking about. You may be asked to take a personality test. You may be asked to do a skills test. On anything that you say you have the skill for, they're going to check you. They are not going to be able to take your word for anything anymore. You have to give official transcripts. They're going to run a credit report. They're going to check you on Facebook. They're going to look at you on LinkedIn. They're going to check your criminal history check. They are going to do it all because they are now obligated to do that. So be prepared for all those types of things. Let's see if you have any questions right now.
And again, if you have any questions for our speakers, please go ahead and chat those to us or raise your hand and you can ask your question directly. And Janet and Cindy, I believe in your original article, you mentioned a list of job sites that people could check. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Are there any of those that you might especially recommend, or are they all equally good?
There are so many out there. I was looking at some job sites specifically. I found 20 top job sites, and we only took the top five just to keep the list small, but I don't have a personal favorite. I don't like Monster or any of those. I have a lot of other different sites I really prefer, so we put those in the list.
And we have a question. One person notes that she's been looking outside the box for about 2 years. She's tried to look outside the box, made the cover letter fit the job, everything, but she was a mom for 20 years, so she has this gap on her resume that she attempts to account for with volunteer work. She was using organization and communication, customer service skills, and so on, but she finds that she's not being taken seriously by employers, or they seem to think she's outdated because she was a mom first. How can she compensate for that? What can she do to make her volunteer years work for her better?
I think that might be something we might want to talk about through a different mechanism. We only have about 5 minutes left, and that might take a little bit more time than that. Can they reach us?
Email
us or
well, and we'll post your contact info at the end of the webinar.
Yeah.
So maybe that would give
great.
An opportunity for that. We do have another question. Do you think it's obligatory these days to be on Facebook?
Yes, if an employer has a Facebook page, I would definitely be following it just so that I would know everything that's going on there.
But you as an individual?
Does an individual need to have a Facebook page? Absolutely not. They have to have a LinkedIn account, but they don't have to have Facebook.
Oh, okay.
And one of our colleagues told us today that she has gotten a lot of contacts from headhunters from her LinkedIn resume, but she wasn't even looking, that they've been contacting her.
So that would be an important site that everyone would want to be on.
And we do encourage you to be aware of your Facebook presence, because people are looking at that when they interview you, and it's very important to keep it professional. Don't put things on your Facebook page that are going to disqualify you for a job. I want to give a few summary remarks, and that is that there are jobs out there, perhaps not in the traditional library settings, the jobs might look different and sound different, but there are jobs out there. I know of one anecdote about a lady who has an MLS who went into business for herself, organizing people's homes. And you know, how many of you would like to go into somebody you know's office and organize their office for them? People will pay money for that. The lady who's done volunteer work. I mean, we're moms. Janet and I are both moms. We know if you run a household, you can run a business. You know, we use all the same administrative skills, multitasking, delegating, et cetera, et cetera. But it's finding the opportunity and the people where you can negotiate your practical experience at home with an employer's, you know, getting an employer to give you the chance. And there are also special books on that topic. That's not a one-off question. There's a lot of ladies who have been in that situation. So please do your research. Find some of the resources that will help with that. Read job postings on the websites that we're talking about, in your newspaper, on the different, like if I was looking for another academic job, I would look at colleges and universities where I wanted to work, in the geographic area where I wanted to work. If I wanted to stay in the Metroplex in Texas and work at public libraries, I would be going to City of Dallas, City of Fort Worth, City of Arlington, wherever I wanted to be, looking at their library pages for jobs, because they're not going to be anywhere but on that site. So go to where the jobs are posted, see what they're saying, and then look at the list of qualifications of the different jobs that you're looking at. And if you see that you are routinely seeing web page development, or you are routinely seeing systems management or any specific term, and you don't have that skill or training, get it. It is incumbent upon you as the applicant, as the interviewee, to find and, you know, to get that toolkit up to date, up to speed. If you worked 5 years ago and you haven't used LinkedIn, Facebook, the Web 2.0 tools, you have to become adept at using those. They won't be used everywhere, but you are required to learn those things. And I know after I finished my MLS, the first thing I did after I graduated was go to El Centro Community College and take classes in database, learn to do Dreamweaver and things like that, because I didn't have that skill set, but I was able to take the classes there at a fraction of the price that I would take them at a grad school. So go to your local community college, continuing ed classes, get the skills that you need, and have some fun with this. Be creative. If you have a bachelor's in art and now you have an MLS, try an advertising agency or something just totally off the wall, different from what you've done in the past. Maybe you will find this is an opportunity to explore something new for the rest of your life. ALA is a great site. If you're sticking with library traditional, then look for the state organizations like TLA, SUNY, that are in different states. Most states do have associations. There are also websites for different types of librarians, like the academic librarians and the public librarians. So there are all those sites. But if you're looking for non-traditional, then you're going to have to use those generic websites that we gave in our article. And Ted, I'll be glad to do another handout if you want me to send a page with the links that we recommended earlier.
That would be great. That would be something to share. For our audience, not everyone is seeing the chat, but that was a response to a question. If you're available to move anywhere in the country, what sites might you recommend? And so she was talking about ALA, and then, but if you're interested in a particular state, then the Library Association for that state, or perhaps the different sites depending on the kind of library you're interested in, the kind of industry you're interested in. Do you have any final comments before we wrap up?
Like I said, have fun with it. Sometimes necessity is the mother of invention, you know, so it's your opportunity to recreate yourself in a new, take a new direction. And I know how much fun it was for me to become a librarian and how much I've enjoyed this part of my life more than anything I've ever done. So I would definitely tell people to follow their heart and what their passions are and find something where you can incorporate your MLS skills and training with exactly where you'd want to be.
Thank you so much. We are showing the contact information for Cindy and Janet now. So again, if you have questions for them that you prefer to ask directly, please use that contact information. And we will also send out some additional handout information as well as the original article from Texas Library Journal. You've been listening to Librarians in the Brave New World of Today's Job Market with Cindy Batman and Janet Denny, brought to you by these two excellent speakers from UNT, and also brought to you by the Texas Library Association. I want to especially thank Nan Ellis, our registration coordinator. You see her on the very left side of that page. Also, Julie Serafini, who handled chat today. She is the tall blonde on the right side. And next to her, the guy with the beard, that's me, Ted Warner, the continuing education specialist for the Texas Library Association. And also special thanks to ReadyTalk, our webinar platform. A heads up for the next two webinars in this series. In August, we'll have Facing Trying Times for Librarians with Ron Pollack, formerly of the UT Career Center. He'll be talking about rewriting your resume. And in September, on September 15th, Carrie McGee, who was the 2010 Librarian of the Year, and his associate Cynthia Flater, will be talking about interviewing, tell a great story, get a job. And again, that's on September 15th. Thank you all again for attending this webinar, and we hope to see you at the next one. Have a great week.
Thank you, Ted.